I'm well. No, how are you? You are doing the damn thing out here.
Busy, girl. I'm busy. I'm busy and I love it. I would not, I cannot complain. Me complaining would only be me being ungrateful. Seriously, I cannot complain about this busy schedule, except for all the money I spent this past week. Okay, let me just tell you what happened. Within the last 7 days, I've had my middle son graduate. My middle son go on prom. Out of three boys, middle son's on prom on Saturday. Mother's Day was Sunday, so I worked that day. Monday, my baby boy turned 16, so that was a whole fiasco. Tuesday, Wednesday, worked. Friday, my oldest son turned 19. Saturday, my oldest son went to prom, but my middle son graduated, so dad and I had to split up.
Oh, and my God. One more
graduation to go, child. So I am, my pockets are light, and I'm a little exhausted.
So you have to work. You gotta be out here.
I ain't got no choice, baby. I ain't told enough jokes yet. Okay, for all of this, I have not told enough jokes, so I'm trying to get it together.
That's right. Well, organized chaos. Listen.
This is it.
I had the chance to listen to it. I related on so many levels. You are unabashedly hilarious. You know, you seriously, you are so like brutally honest and just like, I love the rawness of it all. I mean, who inspired you? Is there like any influences out there that, you know, you kind of styled yourself after, or is it just all you?
Who inspired me? First of all, let me say thank you for not jumping on here and going, so tell me how you got started with comedy. That's normally how every interview, and I'm like, no, please, like, don't. The same way everybody else does, they start on stage, you know.
Yeah,
I've been funny all my life. But
and I did see that you also was on a dare. I read that.
Yeah,
yes, that is bold.
Definitely dare material. That's also more organized chaos because I am chaotic. So as far as influences for the album itself, for organized chaos, I wanted a more old school, literal vinyl album feeling. So I wanted the Red Fox. I wanted the Bill Cosby. I wanted the Richard Pryor. I wanted the Moms Mabley. Like, I wanted that vinyl with the crackle. That's why when you started off and you hear Monique talking, it's very tavern, you know, just old school. And it was like, we did it during a time where we were in the pandemic, and we were in the height of the pandemic. And when we got to LA, pandemic rules were five people tops. I don't care how big the space was. So it was me, the engineer, my husband, my manager, and one other person, and the cameraman. And that was it. So it was like, I had to do something a lot different than what I was used to doing. Like, I'm used to big stages and people and instant gratification with the laughs. Well, we know that's true.
People, so you can kind of feed off people when you're doing that. And this was a totally different experience. Yeah.
So I was a little nervous about it at first. But when I finally heard it all come together, I was like, this is pretty funny. This is going to be good. And it gave me, hi, baby. I'm an animal lover.
Okay.
And I'm surprised my dog has not broken the door down. Like, who are you talking to? So it was a great, it ended up being a lot greater than I thought it was going to be. But those were definitely the inspirations. I wanted to be old school.
And I can feel that. I felt that Richard Pryor. I felt that feeling, you know, where you feel like it's more intimate.
Yes.
That's what it was. It felt more intimate. Like I was able to really kind of just get in your head and see what goes on in Corey's head. And let me tell you, it goes on in Corey's head from what I heard. It's so relatable. Baby,
I want you to understand. The things that you heard on that album, that's my real life. So when people say, are you making up jokes? No, this is really what I live. I live, you know, big bras. I live.
Let me tell you, well, I am not little over here. So when you hit on that,
honey, okay, because mine was so big, honey, I had to, last year I went and got a reduction. because I was like, this is too much.
Good for you, though.
So much better. It's the best thing that I've done for myself in a very long time. Yeah. Now I'm just wearing anything, okay?
That's right.
I want you to know, I'm wearing whatever. All of it. Strings, yes. Okay, give it to me.
That's right.
I want it all.
That's right. You don't feel, you don't, because when, you know, as a woman, I understand, like, when you're well endowed, you tend to feel a little bit more inhibited,
yes.
You know? And so you got some freedom now, it sounds like.
Baby, like I've never had before. But also, my breathing is better.
Yeah.
I'm able to run. My back was out 10, 15 years. I don't have the problems as much with my back anymore. I'm able to run. I haven't been able to run since high school. Like that. Oh, and button-down shirts, okay? We don't have to leave them open. Yeah. With the button screaming, help me,
yes,
help me. We don't have to do that. Yeah. We don't have to do that anymore. So when I talk about that stuff on the album, that's my real, my son, you know, being, and the kids coming, like that is really my real life. So it's easier for me to tell because those are my stories.
Yeah, 5 children. God bless you. I got 1. You got 5. That's a lot of love. That's a lot of love. That's a lot of chaos. And a lot of chaos that you have to organize. That's why it's a perfect title. Perfect title for your album. Seriously, now you had Monique do the introduction, and I know that that's like, she's your peoples. Tell me a little bit about when you met. What was that like, the day you met?
So when I met Monique, before I met Monique, I had put up, now I've always been a fan. Like I've always fanned out. She was my person. Like, you know, spirit animal. That's what it was. Like, we were spirit animals. But it was like that for all of the queens of comedy. Like, I loved all of them for a bunch of different reasons. But Monique and I resonated the most. When she was big, I was big. When she lost all the weight, I lost all the weight. Like, it just happened to happen at the same time. And one day I saw that she was coming to Chicago. And I put up a post and was like, yo, y'all tag Monique and tell her to let me come do 5 minutes at the improv. And people tagged her.
Wow.
And she responded. And I was like, nah.
Blessings on blessings. You know what? If you know it, and closed mouths don't get fed. I mean, you gotta
say it till you see it.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
You gotta say it till you see it. And once
so
you
how did
say
that, what
it.
Did you feel? What did you feel? Like, I know, were you probably like, oh.
I went through a couple different emotions. First, I was like, what? You know, like, oh my God, this is crazy. And then immediately, just like normal, the doubt kicked in. It was like, well, maybe it wasn't her that responded. Maybe it was her people. What if she decides to change her mind? Or I didn't get like an inbox with instructions, like meet me here, do this time. It was like, hey, baby, meet me at the club on Friday. It wasn't like, go to the door, give them your name. So the doubt had started to kick in. And then I was like, well, you asked for it. How bad do you want it? Yeah. So in my mind, Dakari, I had already planned. If you remember the episode of Martin, when he went to the Barnell Hill show and he was supposed to get his 5 minutes and ended up on stage with Jodeci.
Yes.
I was going to be Martin with Jodeci.
I didn't care how
I was getting on that stage. I was sneaking in the back. I was going to do something, but the day before the show or the day of the show that morning, she had gone on morning radio and one of the radio personalities said, hey, I saw that you have Corey B. You responded to her inbox, and she's going to open up for you. And she said, I don't know who this Corey B. is, but I responded to her information. And as soon as I did that, the people were like, oh my God, you're going to love her. So I'm excited to see her. And it was that moment that I was like, we're in there.
That's
right.
But
to actually like be in her face, when you walk in, she's everybody's auntie.
Yeah.
She is literally like, oh, sugar baby, come here, let me hug you. Like she was that for me. And I've watched her over the years be that to thousands of
people. Yes.
She's so fun. Yes. She's so fun. Like 8-year-old girl. Skip down the hallway in the hotel. Like, hey, you want to race? That kind of fun. Like, she's fun.
Excellent. Now, I see that, you spoke on being somebody's auntie, and I was going to save this for a little later, but because you spoke on it, I saw a piece of you in Barry Brewer's Kim and Kelton. Okay.
Oh, you can trust your auntie.
Yeah, you can trust your auntie. You were, it was so natural for you. I mean, have you really considered acting? Can I see more of this? I need more of this.
Listen, first of all, shout out to Barry Brewer,
shout
who
out to
is
Barry.
Brilliant.
Yes, he is.
He is kind.
Yes.
And he is giving. Like, Barry Brewer is one of those guys who wants to share his faith with everybody.
Yes,
and
does.
When he asked me to do it, I was like, absolutely. But when I got on set and he was like, here is, you know, the script, mm-hmm. but just have fun with it. Channel your yes. auntie and just have fun with it. And he just let me go.
Yes.
Oh, baby, yes. We had so much fun on that yes. set.
I bet
I
you did.
Be the auntie. Yeah. I want to be,
I want to You want to be the
I
auntie?
I want to be the auntie. Like, I can play the auntie in these roles. Like, that, I love acting. I do.
Yeah, I can totally see that is you all day. It was so natural for you. It was so believable. And yes, shout out to Barry Brewer, because I actually had a chance to interview him, you know, so I've spoken to him and he is everything. He yes. is a tremendous talent and a very kind soul. But yes, back to you. I want to see you more of that, please. Okay.
Yes. That is the goal. That y'all hear her. Y'all heard Dakari say it. That is the goal. Your favorite, everybody's favorite auntie is my hashtag, because that's who I am.
Now, I know why I personally need your style of comedy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why would you say that it's necessary for the culture? Because I know that comedy is very necessary for the culture for many reasons. But
yes.
why would you say it's necessary?
Why would I say that my style of comedy is necessary for the culture? The reason that I would say that is because with all of the different arts,
mm-hmm.
even with all of the different types of comedy, mm-hmm. stand-up will never die. Mm-hmm. It's something about having that right now in your face, you know, instant reaction, instant gratification, mm-hmm. instant feedback where the audience is feeding you and you're feeding them, that will never leave. And right now, like, we have a lot of microwave comedy where you have to be very funny very fast
mm-hmm.
in order to keep people's attention.
Yeah, yeah.
And
the
I'm a storyteller.
Attention, yeah, it's gotten a lot shorter. That's with everything. That's why we have all these shorts on social media and everything else. Like, everything is very in a condensed space. Yeah, you're right.
And and a lot of times that doesn't translate to the stage. For very, very few can that translate from the internet to the stage. For those that do, like, it's amazing. I work with some amazing comics that come from the internet first. Mojo Brooks is one of them. Ryan Davis is one of them. Like, these guys have, like, they got it. But if you, and with me being long-winded and a storyteller, if you don't get in there and grab their attention in the beginning, then you'll lose them. So I have, if I would say it was my superpower, it's to be able to go in and get their attention first. I have to be fearless before I can be funny.
Okay.
So I got to go in, make them listen to me, make them pay attention, and then I can take them on the ride.
Oh, you mean like that time I heard you wore a bikini on stage and then there was an earthquake that came by? And you mean that time?
See, Dakari, see, why you be bringing up stuff? Because we weren't even going to talk about that, friend. We weren't even going to talk about that. But since you want to talk about, now that is definitely grasping the attention. But I'm going to tell you why. There's always a method to the madness. There's always a reason for the organized chaos.
Yes.
Always. I believe that funny is funny.
Yes, it is.
No matter who you are, I also believe that comedy is not gender specific, but there's an unspoken rule that it may be. Because if I go on stage and say the exact same thing that my male counterparts say, it's looked at completely different.
That's
Most
true.
Of the time, it's frowned upon.
That's
and
true.
One day I was getting ready for my show. And I was maybe about two years into comedy. But when I dress, I dress. It's just what I do. I was brought up that way. I grew up on the runway. My mother was a fashion designer. So it was like, when you walk out the house, you look like you leave, go, you know, like you're going somewhere. Mm-hmm. So when I go on stage, come on, Dakari, when I go on stage, I got to look like I'm going somewhere. Yes. And one day, a very well-known comedian said to me, you might want to tone down your outfits, because when you dress like that, nobody ever hears your jokes. They're not paying attention to them. They only paying attention to your body and what you look like. Mm. Mm. And I wasn't discouraged one bit, but I did hear challenge. Let's go. And I can guarantee you that no matter what I'm wearing, I can make them forget that I'm wearing anything at all. Yeah. And I can bring that funny. Yeah. So by the time we got to Vegas, Monique and I were having so much fun playing. Every week we would decide, okay, what are we doing this week? And one day I convinced her, I said, if you really want to do this, let's do bathing suits. And she was like, are you out your mind? First of all, I'm a grandmother, number one. And I'm Monique, be out here in the bathing suit. I said, Mo, funny is funny. She said, okay. I went out.
Fly is fly too, though. I mean, now, come on.
Yeah, but when you think about somebody in their 50s who's an entertainer, who's, you know, they just, it's just not her style.
Right.
But she was willing to play with me. And that was the fun part about it. We did a pajama night. She was willing to play, you know, like we played with each other on stage. So when it came to that day that I was like, we're doing bikinis. Mm-hmm. And of course, she had a dope cover up on, like it was great. It was age appropriate. I'm going for it, okay? Because I'm going for it. I found the perfect swimsuit. Nice. And my mind is like, y'all gonna listen to what I say. I'm gonna address the swimsuit in the beginning, and then y'all gonna forget all about it. Well, I came out. I had on my 6-inch stilettos. I had on my bikini. And then we talked about the swimsuits. Once we got past that and I got right into the middle of my jokes, things began to sway. And Dakari, I'm from Chicago.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't know if you've ever lived in Chicago, probably not, but I'm just saying
that. I'm from New York, we don't have quakes.
So we got a lot of things, right? We got water, we got wind, we got rain, and if anything could happen. No freezing temperatures. Yes. We even have bullets. Okay, that's a season two.
Yes, that's
right. I don't know what to do when the ground I'm standing on
is moving.
Start moving. Where do you go?
I don't even know. I wouldn't even know how to react, I think.
So what ended up happening was, as I'm standing there in a swimsuit going, God, please don't send me to heaven like this, because I'm explaining why I'm coming up here in a swimsuit and I'm not at the beach, Lord. Please don't make me do that. Okay. I stood over to the side, and there begins to be a little bit of panic in the room.
Right.
And I heard Monique yell from the back. She said, Corey. And I said, ma'am. She said, are you good? I said, yes, ma'am. She told security, turn them lights off. Turn the sound back up. Let her get control of this room. Because if she panics, they panic. But if she's cool, they'll stay cool.
That's
so they turned the lights back down. They turned the music back up. I went back on stage, and then I just addressed the earthquake.
Wow.
And we rolled it right on out. We really did. But it was
you
like
were able to bring everybody from 100 right back down.
Because they're like, well, if they're not, the talent is good, then we got to be good, because they wouldn't let them stay anywhere where it's going to be dangerous. So I brought it back down. And I was like, God, thank you for not sending me in a swimsuit. I didn't want to die. Not like that.
Not like that. I don't want to be remembered. Like, but still, the talent that it took for you to bring them from 100 down, and you were able to still, you know, do your performance.
Yeah.
That takes a lot. That takes a lot. A lot of chutzpah, as they would say.
The thing about it is, Vegas, I was with Monique in Vegas for her Las Vegas residency, and we did 5 shows a weekend, every single weekend for 9 months. Mm-hmm. And that was the best training ground that I could ever have. Because Vegas, when they come to shows in Vegas, mm-hmm. nobody comes to a show in Vegas that's from Vegas. Mm-hmm. They're from all around the world.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, there's a lot of the tourist area. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I got to be able to be funny to the Indians. I got to be able to be funny to the Africans. I got to be able to be funny to the Creole people that's coming from the Bayou in Louisiana. When they say, girl, you are so crazy. The Canadians got to be able to. So it was like you have to be able to translate and make sure that you keep it funny. So I'm grateful for it, but I did not want to die in no swimsuit, child.
Now, I tell you, I bet. You know, you mentioned something about when you get on stage and as a woman, as a being close to a man, like there's a double standard.
Yes.
And I know I've heard it from other female comics. I had a chance to talk to Aida Rodriguez in particular about this.
I love her.
And she said that, you know, it's really hard on women.
It is.
In the field. I mean, I think that comedy in general is the most challenging performing art that there is.
It is.
So, it is. You know, I mean, women are making more strides now than ever. You know, mm-hmm. like you had, like, you know, the Tiffany Haddish special, you know, We Ready, and they had part two.
Yep.
Great. Have you run across, other than that time that you're mentioning, have you run across any other kind of sexism to date?
You do it all. It happens all the time.
It just is natural. It just is part of the culture.
Yeah, right? Sexism, it happens all the time. Let me say this, though. Even with it happening all the time, mm-hmm. we got a lot of good brothers in comedy mm-hmm. that since I've only been in comedy 9 years, it'll be 9 years for me this year. So mm-hmm. I can only speak for the last 9 years. There are mm-hmm. some brothers in comedy right now that are standing up for women, like, you know, female comics like never before, mm-hmm. you know, that are standing in that gap for us, that are saying, nah, I'm taking a female as my feature. I am, like, they really are representing for us. But on the flip side of that, yeah, that sexism, we get,
like, it could be part of the culture almost. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're used to it. You're expecting it. And then you know how to deal with it. No, you'll never hear a man brought up sometimes the way that women are brought up. Like, they'll say things like, what about, y'all want to hear a comedy from a woman's point of view? As if it's any different. Like, you never hear from a man's point of view.
Right.
Or this sex comic coming to the stage, I would make her my baby mama because she fine as hell. Like, the things that they say. And it's not all of them, but we've all run across them. I've had guys remember my body, but not remember my name. And you're bringing me up. I like it better when they have no idea who I am. Because when they hear Corey Bell, the first thing that they say is, so this next young brother coming to the stage, you know, he killing all over the country. And then I come out. Like, that for me is refreshing because I can address it right then because I know that they didn't mean any harm. They just assume. Right, that's the fun part for me. But when it's like, yeah, this next girl was da-da-da-da-da, and it's like, sir, come on.
Well, you know, what's nice about that, too, is I'm sure it's like you're like a wild card, too. If they don't, you know what I mean? They don't know what to expect from you. So that does have its advantages, I'm sure.
It does. The thing about it, though, is because I know about that, I know about it, I make sure that my comedy is about everything, not what they expect for me to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't come in automatically talking about sex or dating or my weight or my kids or, you know, working out or like I'm not. It's such a big world. I talk about falling asleep after 40. What a nap is like. You know, my daddy is Batman. Like, let's talk about that. Why it ain't no black women in the Bible, okay? Because you're not going to be able to tell them, Jonah, that you was gone for 3 days, and when I asked you where you was, you're going to tell me you was in the belly of the whale. No, sir, Bob, you was a prophet. Nah. Didn't you know that was going to happen? You should have told me before you left. I'll be back in 3 days. Like, you know, so it's so much to talk about.
Yeah, there is. Now, what do you hope to accomplish with your comedy, both professionally and personally? Because I know that your work, it's very personal to you. So
Yes.
I'm wanting to know what it is that you hope to accomplish, not just professionally, but personally with your craft.
What I hope to accomplish with my craft, number one, professionally, is I'm going for my golden jacket. And if you know anything about sports, you know that when you go and you get your golden jacket, that means that you've accomplished the highest of the highs. You know, you are the MVP. You are, you know, you've gotten the rings, you've gotten your, you know, whatever the accolade. It's like your PhD, you know. So I would love to do, I can't wait to do the arenas. I want to do the Kevin Hart thing where he's touring the world, telling stories about his family and his life. He's not going out the deep end and giving all of it. He's just talking about what he knows. And he's
That's
doing
true.
it all around the world and he's sharing a story. And there isn't a an idea that he hasn't produced, that he hasn't brought into fruition. So comedically, I would love to travel the world and make the world laugh, one joke at a time. Hundreds and thousands of people. TV, absolutely, because I want to have my own game show. Okay. So there, can you imagine? So before comedy, I just knew I was going to be three things. Number one, I was going to be Debbie Allen. Okay. It didn't happen because Debbie Allen is already Debbie Allen and I can't be Debbie Allen because she's already her. All right. So we got to take that away. Number two, I was going to be a flight attendant because I love to fly and I thought it would be beautiful to travel the world. Da, 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 da. Well, at the time, I was 320 pounds and they don't make uniforms that big. Okay. I couldn't really fit through the aisle. So flight attendant was out. Number three, game show host. I could be a game show. And I'm talking about fun games, Gary, like Ellen. Like Ellen's game show, something like that.
I well, even what was the name of that show? Deal or No Deal? I think, and Howie Mandel was doing so. He always had like these little sidebar comments, and just was
Yes.
always kind of silly. But I, yeah, that
Yeah,
we need
like Price
that.
is Right. Like I want to do
Price is Right.
fun. Yeah, don't put me on like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire while I'm just sitting there asking, like that ain't my thing. I want slime. I want little toy tricycles. I want people to fall through the floor. Like
Why
I
did you
want.
just make me think of, oh, I'm gonna show my age now. You can't do that on television. I don't know
My
why, but
favorite.
you said slime and you said all
I'm a Nickelodeon kid, so you can't do that
that.
on television. Double Dare, all that, Kenan and Kel, like that's me. So yes, something like that. So that is still on my list of things to do. So
Excellent.
professionally, that's what I want to do. Personally, I want to use my career to show my children that you can do and be whatever's in your wildest imagination. You don't have to be the doctor. You don't have to be the lawyer. You don't have to be the rapper or the singer.
Ball
You,
player, right?
if you want to train pigeons, you can train the best pigeons that you can find if that's what you want to do. Because never in my wildest dreams did I think that I'd be able to go out and somebody will send me a message and say, "Hey, I'm recovering from leukemia and I've been down all month, but I just watched you on
Oh,
whatever and I feel so much better."
that's yeah,
That
that's
for
touch.
me.
That means you are in the right space. All systems go because,
Yes.
I mean, that I know that's beautiful. Goodness.
That's better than any award, any, you know,
Yes.
T when people inbox me and say, "I spent my last to come and see you and you did not disappoint." That's why I do it.
Yes.
That is the reason that I do it because laughter is free and it's so much
We
of it.
need it, and we need it. You know, I mean, we not everybody can do. I mean, I know it's tough. I know it's a very tough profession to be in, but we need to be able to laugh. I mean, especially now, these times
Yes.
are trying.
Yes. Yes. So that's why my kids don't get to be lazy because I'm not lazy. You can't quit. You either win or you learn. We
That's
don't
right.
quit. That's it.
That's right. Now, what else can we expect? I know that you mentioned, you know, you wanted to do your acting. I know you Would you ever consider some like writing? Would you ever write, you know, television show or do some type of comedy
Dakari,
or
I want everything that wants me.
okay.
I want it
It's a
all.
good.
I am creatively open. So there may be some things that come my way that I hadn't even considered that others say, you know what? You don't even know that you possess this gift, but let's try this over here. So you may see me at the writer's table. You may see me, you know, producing, because I produce comedy shows now, but you never know what I may produce because my mind is like, we can do anything. If I can make people laugh and y'all cut a check for it, I can literally do anything. So you'll see me on TV. You'll see me on these tours with some of the best of the best. SiriusXM Radio, I'm not opposed to it. A daytime talk show where we talk about the good stuff. Girl,
Because I
you
can
can
see
see
you
me.
being on a radio show too. I can so see that.
Shout out to WGCI here in Chicago, the best morning show, period, who has given me the opportunity these last few years to come in and guest host anytime any of their radio personalities are out of the
Oh, wow.
studio.
See,
So,
I didn't even know. I'm not in Chicago. I didn't even know. I'm telling you, I can so see that. I got to look that up now. I got to find the records on that.
Oh
That is
yeah,
excellent.
if you go to my page, I post a lot of stories there. So shout out to my brother Leon Rogers, who is also a veteran comic in the game, but he's been holding down the radio for a very long time. And he like, come on, you funny, let's try this. And I was like, at 5 a.m., you think I'm gonna be funny? But when they said Mike's hot, I was like, hey, let's be funny. So it worked.
That's right. You
It
just turn
worked.
on all of a sudden. Yeah.
You gotta do it. Yep.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Well, oh my goodness. I can't organize chaos. Anybody that
Yes.
hasn't seen or heard organized chaos yet, you need to go to any streaming platform. You'll be able to find it. It's hilarious. You don't want to miss it. Seriously. So relatable, so down to earth. I'm so grateful that you came by and you spoke to me. I feel so
I
special.
am honored that you had me and that you have this amazing platform that you're sharing with so many other people. It is
Oh,
a
thank you.
blessing and an honor to talk to you. And thank you for making this easy. Like you made this easy for me. There was not, I don't feel like we were on a Barbara Walters interview. Like we just talk like girlfriends, you know? So thank you for being refreshing and being easy. And hey, kitty kitty. So I just because the cat,
I
I
know
like.
he's sleeping.
Yeah, so just thank you.
Yes. Oh, you're always welcome. And I can't wait to see more from you in the future. I'm going to keep my eye on you. All
Yes.
right. And stay up, stay blessed, stay focused. And yes. All right.
Thank
I'm
you
going to
so much,
talk to
and I'll see you soon.
you. Thank you, my love.
Thank
Bye.
you.